Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are in what we call war. It's war here in this city. I'm going to read you an article that I wrote that's been spreading across the country. And it goes like this. The new face of Jim Crow is all across the county of Barron in Michigan. The prosecutor, the sheriff, county clerk's office, the mayor, who just so happened to be the Tom of the Year of Benton Harbor, are making it harder and harder for the African-American to exercise a fundamental right to sign a recall petition and to vote. In Benton Harbor, Michigan, an effort has been going on to recall the mayor and some city council members. The community members say that the measures used to stop this effort include intimidation, harassment, threatening, kicking in doors of those who signed the recall petition against the mayor, James Hightower, who just so happened to be a reverend, and it's embarrassing. Actually, I would classify him as the devil. The message is clear. Do not recall anybody we, the 1%, put in office, or you will go to jail. The whole city of Benton Harbor is under siege today. This includes economic seizure, bankruptcy, claims, and the funny part about this thing, that the city claims they're out of debt and just borrowed $2.3 million just to pay their creditors, and they're still in the red. Voter suppression is a strategy to influence the outcome of an election by discouraging or preventing people from exercising their right to sign a petition for a recall of the elected official. Voting rights are attacked under the pretense of preventing voter fraud. The rights of the citizens of Barron County or any other county or state to vote or sign a petition should not be denied or abridged by government. The 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibits the federal and state government from denying a citizen the right to vote based on that citizen's right, race, color, or previous condition of servitude. I want everybody to know that democracy in Benton Harbor and throughout the country is being destroyed. Here in the city of Benton Harbor, we have what you call an emergency manager, a man who has absolute power. Instead of having one emergency manager now, we now have four. It's embarrassing. The city is worse off now than it's ever been. We are in big, big trouble here. But it takes the people to take a stand. The city is being destroyed because democracy is incompatible with a system that breeds war for profit and the concentration of wealth and power in the hands of a tiny group of billionaires. No section of this ruling elite would defend democracy rights. The test falls to the American working class people. We must go out and do what we're supposed to do. We must learn to work together. It is not one thing, it's everything. We are now under the power of the corporations, the elite, and dictators. Do not allow the corrupt government to suppress our voting rights. We must organize, 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 and demonstrate that we have rights. We must fight for a new world where those rights are achieved. We must do the things that's necessary. We must take this thing to a whole different level. Now let us listen to a little Martin Luther King. Then I'll bring on my first guest.
No longer have a high blood pressure of creeds and an anemia of deeds. Let us be dissatisfied until the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and despair shall be crushed by the battering rams of the forces of justice. Let us be dissatisfied until we live on the outskirts of hope, brought into the metropolis of daily security. Let us be dissatisfied until slums are cast into the junk heaps of history. Every family will live in a decent sanitary home. Let us be dissatisfied all justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let us be dissatisfied till that day when the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. Every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. Let us be dissatisfied. Men will recognize that out of one blood, God made all men.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want everybody out here to know that an economic system that does not feed, clothe, and house the people must be and will be overturned and replaced with a system that meets the needs of the people. We must come together. It's more of us than them. Here in the city of Benton Harbor, they're kicking down doors. All for a signature on a recall petition of this lousy mayor that we have. In New Buffalo, an all-white city, 99.9% white, also recalls their mayor and a councilman. Not one door been knocked on. Not one door been kicked in. But here in the city of Benton Harbor, over 200 doors been knocked on and kicked in around here, all for a little mangy signature. If that's not voter suppression, I don't know what. The intimidation is a terrorist attack on the people here in the city of Benton Harbor. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend from California, Richard Fine. Richard Fine, the fine attorney. And I tell you one thing, he was in jail when I was in jail. But we love you, Richard. We want you to keep up your great work you're doing. Richard, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, how are you today?
I'm great, Richard, and just happy to hear your voice. Sounds like we're in a real dogfight here. This is war right here. They declared war on the people. They just brought in a tank and some ammunition down there. I don't know what they're doing with it to store it. So I guess they're expecting a war or some kind of conflict to break out down here pretty soon. So I'm going to have to – I read that book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. I may have to use some of them techniques on them. But what's happening with you? Let's talk about you, Richard Stein.
Well, I just want to take a few minutes. You know, we made a pledge to each other that we're going to just keep this fight going. And I'm on to just to encourage everyone once again with the both of us to get out there and get the candidates to come on to our website, which is http://www.voteforjustice.org, and have the candidate hit the button, Candidates Pledge, and sign on to the pledge. You know, if we don't do that, and we don't get these candidates to sign on to the pledge, we aren't going to have people running who are in favor of eradicating judicial corruption. You know, it's up to us.
Absolutely. Richard Fine, let's say, for instance, if a guy is running for office and he refuses to take the pledge, what happens then?
Well, if he refuses to take the pledge, then what happens is that we don't vote for him. But we've got to get candidates to take the pledge to find people to vote for. Because
absolutely.
You know what's going to happen here is that a lot of these candidates are going to do what we call the Texas two-step. Remember the show, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Oh, absolutely.
And they talk to the candidate, and he starts talking around, and he doesn't do anything. That's called the Texas two-step. Well, a lot of these candidates may try and do that because they figure, look, if they avoid this, then they just get in and they do what they want. So if we start forcing them to take the pledge, then we get people who are pledged to do something, and those are the candidates that we can then go and vote for and put those candidates in office, and then we force those candidates to uphold the pledge. So this is the beginning. So what we have to do is we've got to get out there, organize our groups, you know, whether it's our neighbors or our whatever organizations we belong to, but even just putting together a group of neighbors, and we go to any candidate that has a meeting where they're speaking, and we tell them, have you signed the pledge? And we just, you know, give them a laptop right then and there. We show up with our tablet, mm-hmm. go to the website, and have them push the button and fill it in. Or if they've got campaigns, every candidate has a website on their campaign. You go to the website, you find out the number of the candidate, you know, where their office is, you call them, or you email them, or you get a hold of their campaign manager, and you tell them, let's have this candidate sign the pledge. This is our organizing time right now, and as we get closer and closer to the primaries, this is when the candidates get more and more worried. So now is our time to get out there and have all the people that are listening to this show to get in there and get these candidates to go to the website. And once again, the website is http://www.voteforjustice.org. candidatesforthefederalsenate.org. And they go and they have the candidate push the button that says Candidates Pledge. And for everyone that wants to join the campaign, they go to the same website and they push the button that says Take Action Now. So if you want to join the campaign, you hit the button that says Take Action Now and you fill in the information. You want the candidate to take the pledge, you tell the candidate to push the button Candidates Pledge. And we've got to get in there and start doing this, because this is the way we beat out the tank. You know, the tank can be out there, but we can go in and get rid of your mayor with your recall. We get in there and we get rid of all of the other candidates. This is it. This is how we change the dynamic. I mean, what you're doing with that recall is hitting them right in the heart. You're literally driving a stake through their heart, because you're changing the people that are in power. And that's what we're doing with the pledge. This is the way that you change the landscape. This is the one thing that they cannot afford to have happen. Because when we go in and we change the landscape, we get rid of them. This is the thing that they cannot afford to have happen. But if we sit on our butts and we don't do anything, it's not going to happen. So if you want to keep living in a totalitarian, people out there, if you want to keep living in a totalitarian state, you do nothing. If you want to see sunshine, you get off your butts. You get out there to get the candidates to take the pledge. You get out there and you get rid of that mayor in Benton Harbor, and you keep getting rid of every dirty politician. This is the way that we are going to get things done. That's what
absolutely.
I have to say,
Reverend. You know what, Richard, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, it's I keep telling people it's more of us than them. And if it's more of us, look like we should be in control. I do not understand this 1% of these people being in control and we begging them for jobs and everything else. I don't understand that. I don't understand how we could be that naive.
Well, I understand it. It's because we're doing nothing.
Right.
And
Richard, we must tell these people that they must get out here and do something.
Well, you know what it is? It's a fact of not telling. It's a fact that people have to get off their butt and get out there and do something. You know, as long as you sit on your butt and you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. It's real simple. You know, talk is cheap, but nothing happens with talk. Action makes something happen. And now is the time where we can act. You know, people, I'm talking to you out there in the audience. This is a very, very interesting time. This election year is an off-year election. Very, very few people are going to be voting. So this is the chance and this is the time where we can turn things around. But we do it in two ways. Number one, we get the candidates to take the pledge, because the pledge means that they're going to get rid of the judicial corruption. That means we're going to put in candidates who are committed to do what we want them to do, not what they want to do. That's number one. You got to get a candidate who's committed to doing what you want to do, not what he or she wants to do. Number two, then you go out and you vote that candidate in. And then number three, you hold their feet to the fire. So we're at step number one. And before we even get to step number one, you got to get up off the couch, get out into the street, and make sure that these candidates sign the pledge. Because unless you have their signature on a piece of paper that they're going to do something, nothing's going to happen. So we're before step number one. So people, let's get out there. Let's say when this program is over, let's get off the couch. Let's get out there. Let's get these candidates' signatures on there. And by next week, I want to be able to report to you that there are candidates that have signed that pledge. So let's all pledge together today that we're going to go out there and get candidates. That's what we're going to do.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Now, what we got to do, we go to the – I was thinking that we go to your website and just sign up. But what we do, we get the candidate to go to your website and sign up. Is that correct?
That's right. There are two things that you can do. One, for each one of us, everyone that wants to join the campaign and send letters out to their elected officials right now, you go to the website yourself and you push the button saying take action now. That means
okay.
that a letter will go out in your name to every elected official. The second thing, though, which is very important, is that you go and you get the candidate to go to the website and push the button saying candidates pledge.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
that,
even though I live in Michigan, it would also do this. I could do the same thing?
Yeah, across the country. Doesn't
right,
matter
would
where you live.
You send me an email with that website on so I can send it out to everybody?
Yeah, I'll send you an email right after the show is over.
Okay, so most times, and repeat that website for me right fast, because I know how people are. If they don't have a pen and a piece of paper or a pencil and a piece of paper, they most likely they won't write it down. So those of you who are out there, get a pencil and a piece of paper and write this down. Go right ahead.
Okay, the website is http://www.voteforjustice.org. Once again, http://www.voteforjustice.org.
Wow, and you know, and we got more than a half a million people listening, and it doesn't. Oh, well, I said we'll be listening before the week is out, so I'm expecting people to sign up and do this thing. I know how difficult it is. Only 15 people called the Justice Department for me last week, so you know how tough it is. But listen, we're going to call again this week, the Justice Department, but I want to make sure you get this website and call in and push that button. I will definitely be pushing that button for you this week.
Okay. Now, our goal, what I want as a goal is, let's say, as a goal between now and next week, let's get 100 candidates across the country to sign the pledge. This is the goal. 100 candidates. I don't care what the office is, whether it's a senator, whether it's a U.S. congressperson, whether it's a state senator, a state assembly person, a mayor, or a dog catcher. Doesn't matter. Let's get 100 candidates to sign the pledge, and as many people as you want to go in and push the button to join the campaign.
Okay, well, you know, you have said it, so you, those of you listeners out there, let's do it. I know it only takes maybe 5 minutes at the most, so please give us 5 minutes of your time and sign the pledge. I will promise you I will sign the pledge, and I want people out there to sign it also. See,
okay.
that's why we lose a lot of ballots, because we don't do nothing. We sit down here and listen to the radio show, which I don't want you to ever stop listening to my radio show, but keep listening. But I do want you to start doing things. I need action. We got to have action.
Right.
And remember,
so
it's more of us than them. Let's show them what we can do.
Okay, so we have individual people can go in and push the take action button. It means they join the campaign, and everyone is to go out there and get a candidate to sign the pledge. That means you got to call the candidate's website or call his campaign manager and get that candidate to go in there and sign that pledge. And we want 100 candidates in
All
any
right.
office across the country signing that pledge.
You said it.
Richard
okay. Fine. I tell you, I appreciate you, and I understand exactly what you're trying to do, and I hope other people understand how important it is. Let's get out here and do something. We got to do something. We got to change. the way we do business around here. You see,
exactly.
we got to change ourselves. If we don't change, things are going to continue just the way they are today. And it's going to be
right
like
now,
this for your children
right
and
now,
your
Reverend
children's
Pinky,
children.
With your show, with your 500,000 to 800,000 listeners, we have an army of 500,000 to 800,000 people right now listening to this show that can get out there and do something. Imagine that.
Wow.
And then we start taking in their friends. So that's our army.
That's it.
Let's,
that's a real army. Well, listen,
that's an army.
Richard, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on.
Okay, I've said it. I'll leave it one more time. http://www.voteforjustice.org. God bless, and talk to you next week.
All right, then. Take care, Richard. You have a beautiful day. I tell
okay.
you, folks out there, please go to the website, sign up, let people know that we're out here trying to do something. I think we're in a war. And I tell you, here in Benton Harbor, we got the sheriff's department and his deputies kicking in people's doors. They will not investigate the murder of Timothy Allen Bulldog, who was found in the lake with his penis cut off. They will not go out and investigate Mr. Flowers, who was found in the water in the lake way down. They will not go out and Toby Williams and William Edward Hurst, who was found in the lake. But yet they will go out and kick people's doors in for a little lousy, mangy signature. I say something is wrong with that picture. If you people don't stand up and do something, what will be next? This community has not one tank, but two tanks. What is a small community like Benton Harbor, Michigan, this area going to be doing with two tanks? Two tanks, not one. And they getting their ammunition and everything together. So you people out there, you better wise up and get out here and fight, because I'm telling you, it's coming to your door next. I tell you, we're in a real war here, and we need to do something right away. Well, listen, I got to bring in my good friend from New York City itself. I know what you're saying. He's a New Yorker, and I know how y'all feel about New Yorkers, but this guy is different. He got it going on. He's the type of guy that could stand up and fight. He's all that and a bag of chips. That's my man, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and listening intently on the program and the ideas. But let me tell you, you are doing something, and that is why the tanks are there, and that is why they are kicking the doors down. But when you bring them to that point, when this is the only thing they see that they hope that can stop you, then no one has an excuse not to understand what's going on. And what is going on is you are showing them how to fight and you're being successful. And I like your traveling around to arouse people around the country to get involved. And the fact that you are out in L.A., is very, very important, because what is happening, and I'm going to jump back to Martin Luther King's speech when he says, we must have education for our children. And this struggle that was so great and so valiant that we have lost the steam in, other people, mainly Mexican Americans, have picked it up. And the way they picked it up is that they have gone to the Supreme Court to demand the education that our children were supposed to have. And it looks like it's going to be a very important case, because if you look at what is happening with privatization, people in our community have been fighting for community control so that they control their own education system, their budget, so that they can have input into the education of our children. Our leaders sold it out, and they continue to sell it out with privatization. They're selling public education. The Democratic Party in New York, the black political so-called leaders Democrats, the preachers, everybody's vying for a charter school to put money in their own pockets. Now, I'm not going to go into the advantages of public education. We started fighting for public education, and understand, the slaves, the ex-slaves in Reconstruction understood the value of a public education. And here we are, all of these many years later, we're allowing the struggle from 1865 to today to be sold out by our politicians and pimp preachers. I'm sorry to have to put it so clearly, but this is exactly what has happened. And now, those people who have been forced into the schools of color in Los Angeles, that is mainly Mexican Americans and Mexican immigrants, without status, know that this nation promises people an education. And so they have gone to the Supreme Court, and they're going to continue that struggle that we have let go, that we have missed out on all of these years. And so we have to understand that we have started a struggle and have let it go, and now others have picked it up. This is what movement means. We start a struggle, and he or she who runs the fastest gets the ball or gets the baton. Other people have said no. They're not going to accept substandard schools, and we must support that movement. And I'm hoping Rosie Wow is listening in, because one of the things we have to say, and I've been saying it on this program, you've given me the opportunity to tell people, teachers need an organization for teachers. Parents need an organization for parents and the interest of parents, which is their children. And the organizations should work together, because it is very important that those two elements come together. But the teachers' organizations are not parents' organizations, and they do not fight for the interests of parents. And what has happened over the years in the inner city, nobody has to be told. Our children go from the plantations to the projects to the prisons because of the lack of education. This is one of the things. And the reality of the racist society they come into. But it wouldn't matter so much as it does if we had education and our children understood capitalism, building business, building communities, making Tulsas, making Rosewoods, very successful black communities, and you wouldn't have to go, as you say, go begging to other communities to sit down beside anyone or to do anything beside anyone other than ourselves. And so I am so happy, and I hope Roz joins up with the Mexican-Americans who are fighting to force this government to afford them a decent education. And with that said, you know, it's I can say no more. I can only applaud the Mexican-American community, and I'd like to remind people that when there was slaving in America, those slaves in Louisiana and Texas and on the border didn't think about running, following the North Star to get to Canada. They thought about getting to Mexico, because in 1830, the Mexican, 1831, the Mexican government banned slavery. And the federales, the federal government, the federal soldiers supported that. And if you got to Mexico from Texas or from all of those border states, Louisiana, Florida, if you got to Mexico, and many blacks did get to Mexico, they got to Veracruz on ships to work for free, work as slaves, and then get off the slave ship at Veracruz, because the Mexican government ended slavery 35 years before the American government did. And so we must remember that. And when people have picked up the banner for a decent education, to fight for decent education, we must support that. And we must also remember that it was, has to be on the shoulders of the teachers as well as the administrators to allow miseducation to get to such a terrible state on the inner cities. Because New York City had one of the best public school systems in the country. But when it became majority black, majority people of color, it ended. And now it's an opening. People who want to have a decent education for their children were suckered into privatization, charter schools. They do not work. The facts and the figures show they do not work, even though we have teacher groups in New York talking about charter schools. How can you take that much money out of anything, put it into a profit-making organization, and then expect decent results? It cannot be done. It has not been done, but it is an opening for the greedy people to get in on it. And when I say the greedy people, I'm talking about our politicians and everybody who wants to put their hand in the till. And understand, when a politician says he wants charter schools, he's being paid for that. When a preacher says he wants charter schools, he's getting paid for that. Understand, all of these people talking about charter schools have a money interest. And when the Mexican-American students are carrying this case to the Supreme Court to say that these schools, separate and equal, is not to be accepted, we have to support that. And let's get back to supporting quality education, public schools, and you are leading that when you talk about throwing people out of office who do not serve you. And your struggle up in Benton Harbor has been a picture for everyone to observe. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad you're getting the recognition for it. And, you know, so much, if I have to recall somebody, I don't even want them there. I'm going to vote for somebody to begin with. But we must remember that Obama promised us everything. And so getting him to sign on would be no problem. He'll sign up for that. But the answer is, when he doesn't do it, recall it. Or let's find somebody more honest to vote for to begin with. And I know somebody out in Benton Harbor that we have to start thinking about voting for, and his name is Reverend Pinckney. And we must find all of the Pinckneys throughout America that are doing good works and vote for them so that we never have to recall them, so that they will bring us justice just as they promised. And we have so many people who say the right thing and do the wrong thing, that it's just outrageous. So I'm not interested in people saying anything anymore. I'm interested in people doing something. Let's get candidates that support us. Support those who support us. And do away with those who do not support us. Do away with all of those candidates who love to lie. We cannot allow them to get away for it. Get away with it. And when you do confront these people, and when you do have organizations going, they will bring tanks, because that is their only answer to an educated public. We must educate ourselves, and we must work very hard to have decent education, jobs, and education. Very important. Thank you. Thanks again. And Lynn Stewart reminds me to thank all of the people who supported her to enable her to come home, and we're fighting that fight for her health, and she will continue fighting the fight to free all of our political prisoners, and to, which I don't know the exact words, to do away with all of those false leaders who tell us what they stand for while they're doing something else. And so for Lynn, who says thank you, I say, Reverend Pinckney, thank you. Thank all of your listeners, and we must continue the struggle. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you so much, Ralph. That's really tremendous. And I just want to thank you for being, just being Ralph, you know, and Lynn, Betty, all of us who truly are soldiers in this battle, and we're just going to continue to fight. And I'm looking forward to coming to New York in May. I will be there in May. And we're going to party back, but also we're going to have Occupy the PGA in May. So we got some things going on that's so incredible. And Ralph, when I talk about the police department, you see, what they're doing is really terrorism itself. They're trying to terrorize the people. They're just as bad as the Klans and everybody else.
Right. Government.
Absolutely. But listen, I just want to thank you and stay with us and don't leave us. And tell you, much love, man. You just take care of yourself. Stay healthy. You, Lynn, and Betty, y'all just take care of yourselves.
We will do our best, and we're looking forward to your coming. You know where you're going to stay when you get to New York. And so you can give everybody your New York address.
That's right. Amen. I'm looking forward to it, Ralph.
Okay, great.
All right, then. You have a great day.
Thank you so much.
All right. My good friend, Edward. Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Edward. I know you got a lot to say.
Oh, wow. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. There's quite a lot that people need to take responsibility for their own health, actually. They're literally, I saw about 8 million women have disorders. Let me get this straight. Intestinal tract disorders that come out and they need antibiotics for, and they found out it's from the chicken that they're eating. Well, the fowl is a big problem, but the fish is what most people think is safe and good for them, actually. Let me read something. Other unknown facts are that fish fat is known to paralyze the actions of insulin and increase the tendency for high blood sugars and eventually diabetes, and is known to increase the tendency for sensuous bleeding. Well, I'll bet you that people don't know that the fish fat is not necessary in order to control your health of your body. And if you get rid of the beef and the chicken and replace it with fish, you're doing just as much harm as you ever imagined. People are eating large amounts of dairy products. Well, why? Because they've told us to. They've programmed us to. They programmed us to mix all our foods on one plate and get a variety of food so we hit all of the different categories in each meal. Well, gee, it turns out that years ago, I was having agita, and it got so bad when I was younger that it would come up through my nostrils while I was sleeping, and I had no idea why. And it would burn the living hell out of my back of my throat and my esophagus and the nostrils. And I finally went to a doctor that was knew about natural things, and he told me that we're not supposed to be mixing our foods, only to have that reconfirmed years later by another doctor who gave me the list of food groups not to mix together. We're supposed to be basically eating our foods separated. If people choose to eat something with a face on it and eyes, they certainly shouldn't mix it with all of the starches. That tends to rot and putrefy through your system. that causes toxins through the putrefaction, and the liver sends it out in the body as fat in order to store the toxins. Well, literally, the animals that are eating the genetically modified corn and soy, and then we're eating the animals. Well, I've seen videos. One of them is Genetic Roulette on YouTube. Genetic Roulette, a must-see for everybody. I was invited by a preacher to his church several years ago, and he said, you got to come, so I came. When I saw that film, I said, oh, my God, I knew there was something wrong with the genetically modified foods. Found out that Russia will not take any of our corn. They promised us years ago. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but they promised us that none of the genetically modified corn would become mainstream and be used to feed us. They were going to use it as ethanol in order to create fuel for vehicles. Well, that's not true. Another lie they're perpetrating on our brothers and sisters. They are literally exterminating us, a few people at the top that own all these giant corporations, and they are the wealthiest men pretty much on the planet, and they control our politicians, our entire government. It's bought and paid for. It's very, very simple. None of the European countries will use genetically modified foods. How did they stop it? They started boycotting anything that was genetically modified. I would advise everybody, since the FDA, affectionately known as the Food and Drug Administration, has pinpointed the fact that 50%, more than 50%, of all corn syrup has mercury in it. Well, why don't they stop it? Their excuse is they are understaffed, so they can't monitor the refineries that are producing the corn syrup. Why is there now corn syrup in all of our foods, and thousands of them are showing up with mercury in it? Does anybody know what mercury does to your body? I know I mentioned this last time, causing autism from the shots. By the way, those shots that are given to children that now have about 75 different shots in them, oh, my gosh. I have friends that have children that became catatonic directly after taking those shots. Think about this. They're laden with thimerosal, mercury. They were catatonic, meaning their children never talked again once they were given those shots. This is literally murder. If the corn syrup is laden with mercury and thousands of items with corn syrup are showing up in the stupid markets, affectionately called, since I was young, then why are we just blindly eating those products? Does anybody know what canola oil is? Did anybody ever see a canola plant, otherwise known as rapeseed oil? There's no such thing. It is not a vegetable or a fruit. It's used as machine oil in vehicles. This is what they want to put in our products, palm oil, canola oil, soy. They want us to eat this stuff. You should see in Genetic Roulette what these genetically modified foods are doing not only to our children and to us, but to the herds everywhere. They start eating the genetically modified feed, which they're all being fed, all the animals that are fed to us, and they can no longer reproduce. They are showing signs of severe autism, falling down. You've got to watch that video. I would advise everyone to go look at Genetic Roulette on YouTube and watch the whole thing. There are so many doctors in there reporting. Remember, there have never been any studies purposely done to show what the long-term effects of genetically modified foods are. And it's beyond barbaric. It is horrendous what people unknowingly are taking into their bodies in so-called food. Now, those processed foods in the stupid market are, they're not real foods. This is simulated food. They want it to taste good. They want it to be a certain texture. That's why they use the ingredients that they use. As soon as it says natural products or natural ingredients, you can guarantee they're putting MSGs. Does anybody know what MSG or monosodium glutamate does to your brain? I bet you there are people listening in on this line. Those instant soups. You know what I'm talking about, Reverend Pinckney? The ones with the noodles in it and the little package of flavoring, the ones that cost about, they used to be 10 for a dollar, now they're 6 for a dollar. Well, go read the ingredients in there. It's loaded with MSG, and you're letting your children eat it, and it puts holes in your brain, especially in developing brains. And this is not a joke. This is very serious. If it says natural flavors, you can guarantee you that what it's got in it, or natural ingredients, what it's got in it is anything but natural. And they literally, this stuff is being consumed by us every day. I've stood in the aisles. I don't know if anybody else has. And I've watched people just pick up all those packages and nobody reads the ingredients on them. At least 9 out of 10 people do not read ingredients, any of the products they're eating. You want to see the studies also in Genetic Roulette on the mice. For 2 years, they fed them genetically modified corn, soy, whatever. You should see the tumors adding up to more than their own body weight and them having to walk around dragging them around. If you want to continue, you don't have to wait for the government to destroy you. You don't have to wait for anybody to destroy you. Your own ignorance will destroy you. By being ignorant to what you're putting in the temple, anybody ever hear the body referred to as a temple? I believe everybody has. Why do they call the body a temple? Simple. It houses the highest, holiest experience this life has to offer, pure love, you, the living truth, which is the highest of all. Within inside of you is something that causes breath. The Creator put himself inside of you and allows you to live. And we want to desecrate the body with our own ignorance. What does it say in those scriptures that everybody is reading? It says, our people shall perish for lack of knowledge, not for lack of faith, not for lack of effort, not for lack of reading the scriptures, and not for lack of going to church or temple. And I don't care what religion you have. I've read them all. I've read all these different books from all the different religions, and they all have something in common. Every single one of them talks about a living vibration, and what you're looking for is within inside of you. Even Jesus said, after he sent them out two by two to establish the kingdom of heaven on the earth, and they came back and it wasn't done. It says in the book there, don't look here or there for the kingdom of heaven. Look within. What does that mean? Look within, and the greatest of all is love. Well, you're what you're supposed to be looking for. A vibration is what you are. A vibration of pure love. Pure peace, or you might call it a feeling.
Absolutely,
of
Edward, my friend. I tell you, that is some tremendous information that you just given us. And you always talking about food and different things and which is education for me. Some of the stuff that you were saying, I had no knowledge about it. It's just tremendous. But Edward, I got you your last 2 minutes. I want you to take these 2 minutes and you can say whatever you want. And I got to move on. I got to bring on my TIs. So go right ahead.
Okay, I help everyone to get out all the toxins out of their body and reestablish pure oxygen in their body. There's a way to reverse all disease without even, if doctors don't even know what it is. You can contact me, and I will help you in any way I can, if you're willing, and you want real help. It's very simple. You can do this on your own, but you need knowledge. You can call me at 818-613-9206, and I will help you as much as I can. You can also go look at a website that's set up and read testimonials if you put in your email address and your name. Go look at abchealth.info, abchealth.info, and there you can read about one thing that comes from Mother Nature and pulls out everything that needs to come out of your body that's causing a multitude of health disorders. Just about everything known to man is caused by positive ions in the body. You need a negative ionic magnet to pull out those positive ions without passing them through the blood so that you can pull them out of your body without causing any negative side effects. Everything can be done in a positive way, but you have to just understand the basics and the simplicity of it. So I've helped already. I'm helping a lot of people that call in on this show, and I hope to help many more. I can't help but to share my love with everyone. Give me a call at 818-613-9206, and I'll help you any way I can. Thank you, Reverend.
All right. Thank you so much, Edward.
You
did a tremendous job, and I appreciate that. And let's stay focused and let's utilize some of this information that my good friend Edward has. A lot of this stuff I had no knowledge about, but now I'm taking notice. And I'm eating healthy now. I'm making sure I eat the right foods. I'm careful what I eat, and I think you should too. We need each and every one out there to stay focused and do the things that need to be done. But I tell you, it's that time again. Every single Sunday at 6 p.m. is TI time. My target individuals. These are individuals that I personally love. I know there's issues with them that, you know, people don't quite understand, but who want to be targeted by the government? Who want to be lasered or microwaved? Who want someone to be burning them, burning the body at all the time? Who want to be followed every second of the day? Who want to be disturbed? They even try to control your brain. They do all this stuff. Absolutely. And I know that most people don't believe that your government can be this rotten, dirty. But I tell you, we got some rotten, dirty people working with our government. And their job is to destroy you at all costs. Every single person is expendable. Remember that. There's nobody here that has to be here according to them. You are expendable. Even the president is expendable. This is how this group does. We're being controlled by a group of people who's controlling millions and millions and millions of people, and we're allowing it to happen. We have to say, enough is enough. Well, now it's time for me to bring on my good friend, my guy, the one and only, the real John Brown in his modern age. And what he have done for the target individuals, most people don't even understand how important this man is. He travels all over getting information, doing things, and don't ask for a dime. That's the most important thing. He don't even ask for a dime, but yet he's willing to use his money, give his money, and we don't give him enough credit. We don't give him enough respect. We don't give him enough love. We need to show this man some more love, and I'm going to show my man, Ken Rose, as much love as possible. Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Ping. Thanks a
lot. How you doing today?
Not too bad, but you're blowing my head up bigger than it should be, though.
Oh, no, you the man, Ken. I tell you, you the man. People don't even have a clue how valuable you really are. They don't have a clue. You know, the work that you does, I mean, you traveled down to Pennsylvania to meet with this guy from the sheriff's department with your own money, your own time, your own everything. And different things, you travel all over the country. You have helped people. You have helped me. You have done so many things, Ken. I'm just really proud of you.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, earlier you were talking about the one percenters, but the one percenters are really not running our country, because now the one percenters has bought off at least 50% of the evil, greedy people in this country. And that's our main problem, is the people, they think they're on the winning team, and they think things are going to keep going just the way they are. Well, they're not going to go the way that you think they are. I'll tell you that. When you buy into this group, you're buying into the evil side. It's just like the police when they kick the doors in Benton Harbor. What do they think is going to happen to their family when they're no longer needed, like they consider us no longer needed now? What does these police think is going to happen to their families? Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. Right now, they're sending the police out, say, to your door, you and your wife there. They send 40 or 50 police out to kick your door in to show force, to show you they're the boss. What's going to happen when they start, and this is going to come to pass, when they start taking the guns away from the American people, and they can only send one or two out to each house. Now they're going to start getting killed, and they're going to say, well, I don't know if I want to follow this order or not. I'm going to pull my badge off, and I'm going to stand with the people. Well, at that time, I don't want you standing with me. You already showed me your evil side. Don't come back when this all comes down, because it is going to come down. Because they're using this technology that they use on the TIs. Anybody that blows a whistle, anybody they don't like, this technology is being used on them. And the American people, the only time I see a lot of them waking up. I will say that. I'm very happy about that. But a lot of them are only going to wake up when they don't have any food left. Well, I think once the food's gone, then it's a matter of desperation. So, like I say, I am a TI, and the people need to start waking up. Some people say, oh, well, the TIs, they deserve what they're getting. Well, I don't think you're going to deserve what you get later on.
Absolutely, Ken. You know, you are right on the money. You see, when things are not happening to them and they ask that, they're quick to say that you deserve what you get until their turn come around. And you talk about, you know, what you're saying is so true, because we had a lot of people who supported stuff that was going on around here, and then when they didn't need them anymore, they ran out of town. They had to leave here. They didn't care where they went, as long as they left here. So that is amazing grace. What you just said is so valuable that I hope people understand how important it is. When you think you're with the 1%, all you're doing is protecting them. You're not part of the 1%. You're not part
right.
of them. All you're doing is doing their dirty work.
Exactly. And once they don't need you, it's like a pair of dirty socks that gets too dirty. You just throw them in the trash. Well, that's why they're going to do all these cops that are in Benton Harbor, they think they got them in wraps, and they're the greatest thing. They can drive their tanks around and show force. It's going to come a time when they're going to all need to get in that tank. I don't know how they're all going to get in them, but
that's right.
The ones that gets left out will be the ones that, because it's coming to this in this country where there are going to be people start getting killed in this country, because right now nobody will do anything.
Right, and I think it's going to come today. Ken, I really believe that it's going to come to that where people, first of all, they're trying to disarm you. They're using all kind of gimmicks to disarm you now. So that way you can easily be taken down. And that's really what it's all about.
Exactly. And you know, everybody, and I am for people having guns, because I think that's what kept the blacks, what ones that got free from the slave owners. That's the reason they got free, because they had, some of them got guns, and they didn't, them guys didn't want to come running up their door at night because they didn't want to get shot. But the sad thing is not only are they going to take your guns, they're going to steal your mind with this technology. This is very dangerous technology they're using on the TIs, and we're only the guinea pigs, whatever you want to call us, that they're practicing on. And a lot of these people think, oh yeah, well they deserve it. Well, when they don't need you, you're going to deserve it too. So keep thinking that way, because you're not on the winning team. And I'll let you go at that, Reverend King. Thanks for
all
everything
right,
you
but
do.
Ken, I really appreciate you. I want you to know that, and I want you to keep up this tremendous fight that you're fighting. And I don't want you to be shy. You just do what you need to do, and let's see where we at. All right. So listen, hang with me, and I want to make sure that you know that they still doing the same thing. If you feel good about it, give the FBI another call tomorrow. Find out where their heads are at. And and don't let them run you around saying that the Justice Department is the FBI. They the one, it's just like the prosecutor office sends out the sheriff's department. The Justice Department sends out the FBI. That's how it operates. And then the Justice Department prosecute whatever needs to be done. So that's really what it sets up to do. So when they tell you that that's not their job, call the FBI, all they're doing is spinning you around. And that's what they've been doing to people. So one thing, we got to educate ourselves and know where and what we need to do. But, Ken, thank you so much. But I would like for you to call tomorrow. Give Miles another call tomorrow and just give him a piece of your mind.
I'll do it, Reverend Pinkney, but be careful with the FBI, because they're the most corrupt
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. I just want to make it a record more than anything else. But listen, I got to move on, Ken. I got to bring on Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing very well. I feel a little tired. There's something in my house that just sort of tires me out, but I can get up every day and go to work, so I don't even make a big deal of it. But Reverend Pinkney, I'm going to read a story about a very interesting person. And this is, it's called Soft Torture. And the reason it's called Soft Torture, I'm the one that wrote it, was because you think of torture chambers, the chains, the whips, the screaming, the yelling, and there was none of that. There was, you don't see anything, you don't smell anything until you hit. You feel a hit, you feel whatever weird thing they want to do to you. Well, I was looking through some papers, and this is what I found. I was really shocked. I haven't seen it in years. My life changed June 15, 2009 at 1 a.m. Little lights seemed to be dropping from my bedroom ceiling. I turned the lights on. It was gone. I had a large mirror on my wall. Cartoon faces were stretched across the mirror. No idea how this was coming through my curtains. And it was just getting to be annoying. So about 5:15, I got up, drove my car around the corner to a coffee shop, Wawa's, to get a cup of coffee, and I called the police. A Morton police officer, he came out. He asked, "You called?" "Yes." "What's going on?" So I told him what was happening. I said, I'm not afraid, but it is quite annoying for this to be going on all night. Well, he asked me my name. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Gloria Welburn." Well, he turned and he looked at me with a rude attitude and said, "Where are you staying now, Gloria?" And I thought for a minute, what? Is this a dream? Am I really here? So I told him where I was staying. Then he really did get rude. He said, "Well, where are you living? Remember, Gloria, there's no house on that address you gave us before." I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I don't know who you think I am, but I've always lived there." "Oh, come on, Gloria. We decided a long time ago there was no house on that property." Well, I couldn't argue with the man. I just stood there and waited for the next question. So he said, I told him, I said, you must have me mixed up with someone else. Who do I have you mixed up with? I mean, this gentleman's attitude turned just like that. I told him I didn't know, but it wasn't me. Who's car, Gloria? And I thought, well, let me cross all the T's and dot all the I's. I said, my former husband gave it to me, but I had it registered in my name. Yeah, I bet. So during this whole ordeal, I'm like, what the heck is going on? So he ran my tags. He said, oh. When he saw that they came back to me, no apology, no nothing. Then he said, yeah, this is police business. I think you should follow me to the police station. So I thought, oh, okay, we're going to get something done. So I followed him to the police station. And as we pulled up, there was a fellow officer pulling in at the same time. And he says to me, he turns and says to me, like, oh, this guy here, he handles the Star Wars stuff. Well, I knew then he was full of shiggity. I just turned and walked away. Something inside of me said, no, something's wrong, but I couldn't say what it was. So I just got in my car and I left. So I did more digging, and I couldn't figure out. I didn't know how to look for this. You know, how do you say you're getting hit out of thin air? So one night I had fallen asleep, and it felt like knitting needles were punching in my ears. And for some reason, before I got on the computer, I asked the creator to give me the just right keys to hit so I'll know what's going on. And just at that moment, I typed in war in the inner ear, and it came up, psychotronic gang stalking. So I started reading that, and I kept looking, and I'm like, oh, well, this is what it is. But it didn't seem to be enough. Well, I called the police station. It was the chief of police. And I called him and told him what was happening. And I said, you know, this is a high-tech con with low-class players. The night of July 30th, 2009, I was hit on the left side of my face with a white light so hard, I sat up in bed waiting for my eyeballs to drop out or my nose to bleed. I sat on the side of the bed feeling a little dazed. After I got myself together, I decided to go to the hospital and get my left eye checked out. Well, I ran into a doctor that said I was delusional, that it didn't happen to me. She said she could take care of my physical, but she was going to send me someplace else for the other help I needed. So she 302'd me. That's what they call it in the state of Pennsylvania, 302, when they send you to a mental hospital. Within 72 hours, I saw a judge and a lawyer on a closed-circuit television. The judge listened to me. The lawyer listened to me. They said, you presented yourself very well. I don't see why you couldn't go home. The doctor at the hospital, which I'd never laid eyes on, I could hear her. She had a fit. She needs at least 20 days, at least 20 days. People never laid eyes on me. But they knew I needed their hospital for 20 days. I didn't scream. I didn't carry on. It was just, I just knew they're going to find their mistake. They're going to realize it, and it's all going to be over. Well, I stayed there 8 days. The first day I woke up, it was about 10 a.m., because I arrived about 4:55 in the morning. A nurse came with a cup of medication, and I asked, what's this for? She said, your doctor prescribed them. I said, well, who's my doctor? She gave me some name. Well, I refused the medication because I don't take medication. They immediately called my daughter. My daughter then called me very upset. Mommy, please do what they want you to do. Please, please do what they ask. I reassured her I would be okay, so I still didn't take the medicine, but by the third or fourth day, I decided, let me take one, and then I'll be able to have a conversation with the doctor. Well, it was Risperdal. I'm not a mental patient. I'm not mentally ill. When I took the Risperdal, I hated the way it made me feel. I refused to take it after that. I would go to the nurse's station, put the drug in my mouth, drink the water, walk to my room, and spit it out in the toilet and flush. The first doctor I saw went on vacation. The second doctor said to me, "Remember when you first came here, you were fighting and cursing and screaming at people?" He's a liar. That's not my personality. While I was in the hospital, they had, or, well, I felt they were in on it, because once again, I'm on my way to bed, and these little tiny lights drop from the ceiling. And as if the spirit just put his hand over my mouth and laid me down, the next thing I knew was the next morning. And I knew something is going wrong. There's something going wrong, but I couldn't begin to figure it out, you know. So after 5 days or so, the doctor told me how well I was doing, how good I looked. And I told him, he said, "You're really calmed down." I said, "Well, it must be the medication." So within a few days, I left the hospital because an African-American social worker found me sitting in the room and said, "What are you doing here? I was looking for you, but I didn't think that was you." And I said, "Well, it's me." So I was able to leave. After we talked, I told her, I said, "Miss, I do this, I do that, I run my business, I have 2 children, 4 grandchildren, I'm taking care of my home, blah, 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 blah." She says, "Okay." I said, "Whatever's happening to me, it's some outside force." I said, "There's nothing in my head. Nothing tells me I want to commit suicide or I want to hurt someone." Okay, I left the hospital. I felt for some reason everything would go back to normal. Well, the real hell was just getting started. At night, I was awakened by strange sounds. Sometimes the sounds were so shrill, I couldn't sleep. I would have to get out of my bed and go sit on the porch 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes they used something that would make me feel as if my insides were being smashed. I felt like I was suffocating. And I would look down at my body because I said, my stomach must be being crunched in. I must be seeing something moving. But there was nothing moving on the outside. It was all on the inside. When I called the police, it was like, "Show me." Well, I had nothing to show them. I stopped calling them. Between the nights of very little rest and horrid sounds, for not the grace of God, I would not be here. Next, come to the face blows, left for work. My daughter was driving me, and because I was tired and I felt empty, so she's driving, and boom, I felt like, what the heck was that? It felt as if someone was down the football field and was throwing a quarter, and it would hit me anywhere in my head, anywhere about my head. The first hit came to my face. It felt like the size of a quarter. It stunned me and hurt. After several of these hits or shocks, after a few of these, I would feel weak and sick feeling. I stopped working for about 2 weeks. I couldn't stand the pain and was very frightened. I was afraid to stay in my own home. I stayed in my daughter's place, which was right behind my house. My nights were like hell. I was tortured nightly with high-tech lasers. I mean, touched, pinched. My breasts were being pinched and fondled. Things were being inserted. It felt like things were being inserted in my vagina. One night, I fell in my colon. I could feel my stool moving back and forth, and I couldn't do anything but just lay there. One day I was folding clothes when out of nowhere something hit my chest. It was like a small burning. I believe then it was some kind of implant. Okay, still not knowing anything. One of my girlfriends asked me to go to North Carolina with her. "Come on, get away from this stuff for a while." Drove down to North Carolina, great time. I stayed in an ex-boyfriend's house. I guess about 3 o'clock in the morning, it appeared to be someone had come to the window, and I sort of looked over my head because that's where the window was, and it seemed as if a bucket of thousands of tiny blue lights were being poured over my head. I couldn't even scream out to my friend that was in the next room because that's how frightened it was. I could just take the pillow, a pillow, and put over my head, and that's how I woke up the next day. That's all the energy I had was to put the pillow on. Couldn't even scream, nothing. When I woke up the next day, I woke up with the pillow over my head. I didn't tell anyone about it because I found it hard to believe myself. It was a very painful trip after that. It seemed if someone walked by me, I got a shock. Then I noticed people would dial a cell phone, then pointed towards me, and I would get a shock.
Wow.
At this
let's have part two of that next week.
All right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's a great story that needs to be told so people can hear that. But let's finish that up next week, and let's you know, I think, hey, just keep it up, and we'll be just where we need to be.
All right, I can do that.
All right. Sahara, are you there?
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Hello, this is Sahara Shinier, founding spokesperson of Stop Johnson Central Experiments on All World Citizens. SNOYOC is the acronym. SNOYOC community updates are most frequently posted to facebook.com/SNOEOAWC. Today is March 30th, 2014, and I will read from my original March 16th, 2012 note that is posted to the notes section at facebook.com/snowyoke. It is titled, Note to Snowyoke Friends About Choosing to Remember What Has Been Perceived But Forgotten, Except by Your Subconscious. Forgetting is something the perpetrators are good at causing to happen. That can be overcome by a determination to remember and prayer to our higher power, requesting help to remember, and a level of relaxation to allow you to remember. There is a fundamental principle in learning that to learn, you have to remember. Probably that is a big reason that perpetrators deliberately cause people to forget with the sound frequencies and accompanying light waves, for example, that can zone people out, particularly if they're not consciously aware of them. They cannot zone you out so well as long as you are remembering to stay consciously aware and to remember for additional review later as necessary. Several times I did not have the best opportunity to analyze right at the moment what was happening, but I was able to make a memo to myself, my mind, to observe everything possible on the spot for analysis later when in a safer spot. These are the kinds of decisions that we can choose to make, but we have to be aware of how our own mind works, that it does forget much of what we perceive if we do not make the point to tell ourselves to remember, to go over the event in our mind until it is well stored in our memory, etc. The best balance is something each individual has to find for themselves, but we do not have to accept whatever level of memory we happen to have been born with or have been conditioned to have. We can condition ourselves through our own will and communication with God. Practice and you will see. Editor's March 30th, 2014 note. Midterm memory is the most vulnerable. Therefore, it is generally recommended to immediately document events that may be important to recall, to log them in one's long-term memory as soon as one can safely do so, and to shield against potential interference in the interim. People have so many more answers already inside them than they usually know. Choose to remember as long as you can emotionally stand to remember. If at some point you cannot stand emotionally to remember, then get yourself stronger emotionally and work on remembering then. These are your choices that you can take as is best for you. You have the power to remember when you are ready and to make yourself ready. Do not bother thinking that you cannot remember. Know that you can remember, but do not torment yourself. Just get what is necessary for your safety and what is helpful out of the memory, including lessons best learned as soon as possible. Then if the time comes that it is more beneficial to start to forget, then you can choose to do so for as long as you wish. The most important point is to consciously decide what is best for your own mind and your well-being. This note started out as an individual note to a friend who is also a member of Stop Now Consensual Experiments on All World Citizens. It is posted with the following quote by Henry David Thoreau. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. That's the quote. Now, in summary, I added the following, which is the first comment attached to the online March 6th by me at facebook.com/snowyoke. Sometimes perpetrators will try to make you remember something when it is not safe time for you to remember. Other times they will try to make you forget something when it is not a safe time for you to forget. Be sure to make your own decisions about when to remember and when to forget. Thank you for your time and prayers for a safe and peaceful 2014 and beyond. Most recently, I posted my interview with Mr. Derek Robinson, President of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, to my documentary channel on YouTube. It is about the emails between him and Mr. Aaron Alexis that occurred in September 2013. My documentary channel on YouTube is youtube.com/junior.com. That is spelled out youtube.com/C as in cat, H as in Harry, I as in, N as in Nancy, Y as in yo-yo, E as in Edward, R as in Ray, E as in Edward, D as in day, O as in or, T as in Tom, C as in cat, O as in or, M as in Mary. Largely due to the currently extreme surge of being targeted that I have been experiencing, and I have experienced everything that the lady right before me just described, I believe her name is Gloria, I will be posting to youtube.com/shanira.com weekly starting this weekend, showing some symptoms that are flared up that you can see in my face and hands and so forth. And I look forward to being here again next week. Again, thank you for your time, and I'm wishing you all safety and peace.
All right. Thank you so much, Sahara. And I want you to have a beautiful day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All
thank
right
you
now. Yes. All right. Adrian, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Reverend Pinckney?
Great. How's everything going?
I'm just hanging in there. You know, I was just listening to the show, and a lot of times what I do, because I know my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, he was using some type of substance to cause me and the children to forget, and I still have problems with that. I'll go through forgetfulness, and people who have been around me, they'll see it, how it's just I'll lose my memory at times, and I was never like that before he had did that to me, and I had noticed that with my children a few years ago. What I do, you know, to try to remember what I've gone through or what he has caused to happen to me and my children, I'll, you know, have like a notebook pad next to where I sleep at, and whenever I get like memories that come back, I write it down, and that's what one of the counselors had told me when I was in the safe house with my children, and that helps a lot also because they do have goals or whatever they're using to they can erase your memory, and they can program you to be whoever they want you to be. That's known that they can do that, because you know, if anyone would tell me that is hypnosis real, can someone control a person completely? You know, I'm the type of person that, you know, I'll listen to what you say, but I'll get the information myself. I'll research information for myself also. But I've seen it firsthand with my children, you know, totally decent, innocent children, you know, totally programmed to be the way that he wants them programmed after he sexually molested them. And I've always been a no-nonsense person. My kids are the same way. And, you know, actually when I seen it for myself and still see it, I know, you know, how my kids were, and I know how they've been programmed. I can see it in them, how they behave. And for his aunt, Viola Creighton, to come out and tell me, yes, it's hypnosis that he forced the kids under, you know, and she was afraid to go to the police department to talk because she was hiding her son from the FBI. My ex-husband had told me, Demetrius Creighton. And when you had talked about the tanks that's in Benton Harbor, these people are very serious about destroying human lives and don't care. And it is terrorism. It is domestic terrorism, what they're doing. And that's why at one point I had to call an organization out. I forget the lady's name that did the television story on, I think it was her ex-husband. He was from, I believe, China. He had kidnapped their son. She had got full custody in the United States, and he took off with the son and took him back to China. Well, she had ended up getting involved with the organization. I had spoke to the same gentleman that hire, like, ex-military people, ex-Navy SEALs to go in and get the children back. And but the problem is there, like what my ex-husband did, he got friends in the system to hurry up and give him custody of the children after he tore up our homes, damaged my health, and caused me to, you know, have more struggles while I was trying to, you know, come out and expose what was going on. And it made it difficult because what they look for is for you to have, what is it, physical custody. Well, my ex-husband did terrorism tactics against us, like this lady who had told me, she was an Italian lady. She had stated that she used to be the head over the Department of Human Services in Lansing years ago. And she had told me, she said, from what you're telling me, he's doing terrorism tactics. At first, I thought terrorism tactics were from the outside coming in. But she was saying, what you shared with me, that is terrorism tactics, what he's doing. So he's ex-military, and to deal with the authorities in Benton Harbor with these tanks, you have to probably contact people that know how to deal with situations like that, that are for what's right, that are ex-military, because you got to protect yourself because these people are dangerous, and they're very serious about what they're doing. And the lady who came on and said her doctor and the police, they just totally disrespected her and dismissed her. And they're, I mean, you're going right to the criminals to tell them what's going on, and all they're going to do is hide what the government do, you know. And I've had these experiences, but even when I called the Justice Department dealing with my case, the way that they did me deterred me, saying that we don't deal with a case like this. But I don't let them get away with that. You know, I file complaints against a couple of FBI agents from Detroit, Carl Haas and Dave Harmon, for literally ignoring evidence and tried to intimidate me to back down to let everything go. And when I wouldn't do it, the man who's in charge of public corruption, Dave Harmon, he tried to threaten me. He jumped up, hollered, told me I better sit down as I was getting up to leave out because he was refusing to look at evidence and found out these two agents were the one that lied and put on record that they investigated my case. And when I had spoke to the FBI agent in Bay City, Michigan, she had told me, she said, they're breaking the law. They're not doing their job on this case in Detroit. She said, your case is a federal case. And when you have these things that are going on, a lot of times you can't go to doctors or the people that's supposed to do right by you because they're paid off and they're part of the corruption. Just know that you are not mentally ill, you are not crazy, you know what's happening to you, you know the changes in your health and in your body, and nobody else can tell you that you don't. So she just have to be really wise and careful. And these people mean business. They're serious. They're getting, they have tanks out there to try to intimidate and to really terrorize the people to back down. You have to enlist people that know how to deal with and be ready to deal with them, you know, to save your own, you know, protect your own life, your family, your loved ones, your friends, and others, because these people are serious.
You're absolutely correct, too. And if they, if you allow them to terrorize you, they will do it. That's why I keep my message is clear. It's more of us than them. We have to show them, you know. If you ever get a chance, read this book, The Spook Who Sat by the Door, by Sam Greenlee. It's a tremendous book. As a matter of fact, it kind of like set the pattern for my life. And I believe that we can do some things. I just believe that if we get out here, we can stop some of this crap, especially this government targeting people, microwaving people, placing you in a mental institution, and all these other kind of little things. We can't stop them until the people come together and come together. And all these target individuals, is over a million of them, until they learn to come out and fight other people fights, it's going to continue this way. They know how to keep you divided. And I tell you, I've been trying to get with you, but I'm sorry, Adrian. I've been so busy. And I tell you, you wouldn't believe it. If you was here, I'm 24 hours a day. I always got something to do, but I plan to make time for you. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to move on to my good friend Dave. And and then we got to go to my good friend Rod. So you, whatever you want to say something, spit it out, tell us what you need. And I do want to say this to you. Your husband has switched sides, too. He's on the other side now. He's definitely not with the good guys anymore. And maybe
well,
he never
you know,
was with the good
the only
guys.
Thing I can say
someone told me the other day,
that, do not let these people try to convince you you're mentally ill because you know you're what you're going through and you know your health. And dealing with my ex-husband, as far as how he's always treated our children from the time they were babies, he's always been someone who's treated them very poorly, and I can speak out for that. And many other people can speak out about his conduct and his character. And he has to be brought down, and he has to know that he cannot get away with raping our children. And continuing on, and he laughs about doing it. He did it right in the courtroom. With my son Daniel when he came out to try to tell, and he told him, no one's going to help you. So that's why they separated me from my kids, because I always empower my kids to fight back and stand up for what's right.
Wow, that's tremendous. Listen, Adrian, I got to let you go. We got to leave it there. Let's we can finish this up next week. Talk to me soon. Talk to me. Keep me informed what's going on, and we can do that. So I got to go.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon. And I got to bring on my good friend Dave. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing today? Time is tight today, so we know
yes,
I'm trying
I know.
To get everybody
I'm gonna
in and,
just...
and make sure everybody gets a chance to speak their mind. So, you know, it's just so many callers. And matter of fact, we, you know, even on the board, you know, when you have over 150 people on the line calling in, it gets to be an issue. But, Dave, you got to talk to me. You got about 10 minutes. Take it from there.
Oh, praise God for that. Thank you so much. I want to tell my Christian believers out there, my brothers and sisters, that there is nothing hidden that won't be revealed, and they know what I'm talking about. Plus, there is no weapon that is formed against us that will prosper. That's scriptural. That's a promise. So I want to give them hope first and foremost. Also, this week I received an email from a friend of mine who pulled up some information that Mark Dice was talking about. And he was saying that there are Yale researchers, okay, that they have been able to, they have a technology, okay, that will pull up images in the mind, facial images, you know, pictorial images in the mind, visual images. I also want to remind you that this technology is not new. Once again, in 92, John St. Clair Acquie, which I spoke about the last time I was on their program, he said that without any contact with the subject's remote neural monitoring can map out electrical activity from the visual cortex of the subject's mind and show images from the subject's brain on a video monitor. Now, John St. Clair Acquie, he was a NSA analyst, okay? This is, and he brought a lawsuit against them for what they were doing to him and others. So keep that in mind, that this is not a new technology. Yale researchers, they're talking about something that has long since been developed. All these things can be documented. I also want to make a note of the fact that I pulled up an old video just recently. I sent a copy to my friend Ken Rhodes, okay? It was CBS 60 Minutes. It was an episode called Shoot, Not to Kill, where they're talking about less than lethal or non-lethal weapons, which we know are not non-lethal. They are very, very lethal. Okay, these are information. This is information warfare designed for war, okay, to extract information from the enemy, which I can say now that we are the enemy, okay? And along with this CBS 60-minute report, Shoot Not to Kill, okay, which it was videotaped in 1994, but it didn't come on 60 Minutes until 1996. Okay, we have to be well aware of these timelines. Okay, for instance, with John St. Clair Acqui, whom I just mentioned, this was 20 years ago. Okay, CBS was approximately the same time. We also know that it was way before that because of Ted Gunderson. He was former senior special agent for the FBI in Los Angeles, California. He was using this technology, information warfare, while he was in the FBI. When he left the FBI, he worked in conjunction with individuals. He was an investigator and consultant for F. Lee Bailey, who was a famous lawyer, as I mentioned before. So you see, now we're up to 40 years of the same technology. So there's nothing new about this technology. It had more than enough time to work the American public to the point to where they're almost delusional if they want to be, okay? And so we have to keep this in mind. But one of my big points that I want to mention today is that these technologies should not be in the hands of our sheriff departments without watchdogs watching them. They're watching us, okay, and they're going to call it under the name of National Security Act of 1946 or 47. I'm not sure which date it came in. I believe it was 47. And they seem to the DOD and the National Institute of Justice, which is the lab portion of the FBI, for some reason they believe that the sheriff department, you know, can be trusted with these technologies. Now, there are a lot of good sheriffs, but there are also a lot of bad sheriffs. My point is we've done a lot of prayer on this, okay, throughout the churches. We have some 60,000 churches around the world. We're praying about this very heavily. And the reason why we're praying for it is because this is an election year, okay? And this election year, we should really scrutinize the sheriff departments, the ones that we know have this technology. In other words, most of them already have it, but the ones that have acknowledged that they have special agents, okay? Let me get the exact terminology here. People that have been trained in information technology, or they say they've been trained extensively in information technology, or they may call themselves an information technology specialist, okay? Any one of these terms, when you read a bio from a sheriff department, you'll see who runs the sheriff department. And as you go down these various sheriff departments, now there's some 3,077 sheriff departments across the nation. So we have to really start scrutinizing. Whatever county you're in, check your sheriff department on the computer, check the bio, and see if you see any of these terms of the people that work within a department. Being that this is an election year, we have to go to these places like the League of Women Voters. A lot of times they'll sponsor the candidates to come in and argue their points for who wants to be sheriff, okay? So we go to these places. My wife and I, the last time we went, we almost had an accident on the way home. An individual who I believe was part of the sheriff department, but I believe he was also trying to warn us, okay, of the fact that our tire would blow out at 65 miles an hour, which it did. I didn't see anything on the tire, so I didn't give it too much credence, but the bottom line was at 65 miles an hour, our tire, it was a Michelin, brand new Michelin, blew out at 65 miles an hour. It literally went down to the rim. So these people are very, very dangerous. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind, okay? The only thing that keeps me going is my faith, you know, by the grace of God. He just keeps me going. Grace is sufficient to sustain me and anybody else, okay, because this is what I believe. This is a promise, and all these things that are going on right now, they are going to, like I said in the beginning, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, okay? And there's no weapon that is formed against us that will prosper. I suggest we start looking with, you know, the, like I said, the sheriff departments, because this is an election year. There's many good sheriffs, but the bottom line is that we have to ferret out these individuals who not. And by going to informationwars.com, where Mark Dice was speaking about these technologies, the Yale researchers, this is the same type of technology, okay, is that we're going to be able to use one day to ferret out these individuals who abuse this technology on the U.S. citizens in the United States. And so we have to keep this in mind. These technologies can help us. They can be used for good or they can be used for evil. And so we have to keep that in mind.
Dave, we got to leave it right there.
You got
and
it.
Listen, I really, really appreciate you. I got to bring Dorothy on, at least give her a few minutes too. But next week, see, can you call in a little bit early so I can get you on sooner?
Oh, there's not a problem. Thank you so much, Pastor, and, you know, God bless you.
All right. Take care. Now, Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
How are you feeling today?
I'm better, thank you.
We definitely had a full house today. We had more people than I anticipated. But listen, you don't have a whole lot of time today, but do what you can. And I got to give Roz the last say. So go right ahead.
Okay. First thing to do is go to the website cchr.org, CharlieCharlieHotelRomeo.org. On this, watch the video called The Enemy. You'll see the real history of the psychiatry system, how they developed the DSM, which is the Bible of the mental health providers. They have actually mental health providers, psychiatrists, and medical doctors who say that all of the typical terminology, bipolar, schizophrenia, not only do they not have, and they go through an entire list, PTSD, not only do they not have tests for these, either medical or X-ray, but they're virtually all made up. And it's really important to look at it because when you then go to take action, you can do a drop-down box. If you have been exploited or abused in any way by the mental health people, you can put a complaint in. It doesn't matter how old it is, but you have options there. They're trying to grow their numbers to then counteract all the abuse of typically those who are targeted individuals who are crime victims. And to go into that, there are typically four types of crimes that are being committed by these criminals, organized criminal trauma networks, much like flash mobs, that have been doing this for well over 70 years or more. They are sexual abuse that is ongoing, physical abuse, psychological abuse, technological abuse, and or they can actually use these all in a rotational form. I'm going to probably wait until next week, but what I would like to do is Mayor Jim Rothstein from St. Martin's, Minnesota, has got his council, his city council, to pass an innovative resolution on human trafficking so that it will protect, support, and allow for the healing of human beings who have been sexually brutalized, put their labor into labor camps and those type of things, exploited, and truly begin to hold people accountable. He has had this passed, and I would like to be able to read it next week in its entirety, which is not that long. It's only 3 pages, and numerous towns are jumping on the bandwagon. Just to give you a little bit, what is it dealing with? The process is the recruitment, transportation, transferring, harboring, receiving, promoting, overseeing, or custodial abuse by the criminals. The ways and the means they're doing it: by threat, coercion, abduction, fraud, deceit, deception, abuse of power, faith-based, occult, satanic groups, schools, youth groups, or institutions. How is it showing up? It's showing up, and their goal is to prostitute males, females, or transsexuals, pornography, violence, sexual exploitation, forced labor, involuntary servitude, debt bondage with unfair wages, slavery, similar practices, human compromise, extortion, unwilling sex acts. This is his work, as he and I have been working on talking about this, as well as his, as a former detective, former United States military person, He has seen these in all different levels, federal, state, local, county. This is what is now going on by the elite towards our children. Many of us have been subjected to it. We have been silenced, threatened, intimidated, and many of our peers have died under suspicious and cruel means. It is time that we now take back our lives, because the only one who can volunteer to be in these is the victim themselves. No other person can put them in these crimes. That is a criminal act. And I will tell you, as a survivor of this, I never volunteered, and no one had a right to do this to me. So next week I will read this two-page, and if anybody would like to get it, I will see about coordinating it with Reverend Pinckney to see about then getting it out so that you can take it to your council and put them on the spot. Mayor Rothstein has shared with me he has actually faced multiple law enforcement chiefs as well as sheriffs and has shown them this resolution, challenging them to make it happen. Many, he has said, has laughed and virtually ignored it, and he says that's because these people are personally compromised.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. All right, well, we'll work that out next week and we'll take it from there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Roz, are you there?
Yes, and I'm so blessed to be here, and what a fantastic show today. Thank you, Dorothy. I have a DSM decision on my case that's not even right, or the doctor said that he didn't have the evidence for it, but he didn't care. Now, I want to thank everybody for your prayers. I received my decision, and I received nothing. And I want you to know, a few days before I received this decision from this judge, who I would like to use the word wacko and corrupt, God gave me the words, nothing is stopping me now. And nothing is stopping me from bringing all this corruption about the school districts, killing off teachers, the education. Ralph, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to bring it to light, and I want to help every student out there. I want to help the teachers to stand up and speak up for the injustice going on here. And our Governor Brown, who doesn't care if the teachers are killed off, our elected officials in California don't care. They're all Democrats, as it turns out. No one seems to care. There's so much money floating around from Gates and Eli Broad, but I will be standing up. So thank you, Ralph, for asking me to do it. I would love to do it. But the judge gave me nothing. He didn't even hear a word I said correctly. He made my lawyer look like an idiot. It was a fiasco in court. I told him we had two home health care assessments. The first was like they paid off this man, this nurse, to write all the wrong things, and I made them bring out somebody else. But of course they have to make an appointment with you. The judge said I didn't even know that there was an appointment. I testified that I didn't know. Well, how could somebody come to my house and write a report? And I'm going to tell everybody, we need to unite together under the Lord's guidance and love, stand up together, because nothing is going to change in this country unless you all stand up in love. When we bless the children with a decent, wonderful education, it becomes our blessing. All of us, no matter if they're black, Latino, white, whatever it is, it's a blessing to all of us. We don't want students that are dumbed down. We want them to know. We want them to know more than we have learned. We want them to know how to write and how to do math and about the history and how we all got here, but all joining together in love. The courts are so corrupt. We have to join with Richard Fine together. Ask our elected officials to sign it. If they haven't signed, we don't want them. Edward was talking about MSG. MSG is so dangerous. Edward is just so right on. Thank you all for everything. I'm so sorry that anything has happened to all of you, but you are always a blessing to me. with your faith in God. That is where it is. And let me just mention the cast of characters at LAUSD that is doing this, the superintendent, DZ, and the Board of Education. They get the money, they make the decisions, and killing off teachers and putting them in teacher jails and denying them their civil rights is a priority. Don Watkins from the Office of Disability Management pays doctors for bogus medical reports, outside lawyers to lie and delay cases, and deals with judges. When my case went for the second appeals hearing, it should have been heard. I should have won. The Judge Cohen made a medical diagnosis and changed all the facts, and Dr. John Stahlberg of Santa Monica, California, wrote a medical report for $16,770. And under oath said he didn't have the evidence for it. This is my case. You all have your cases, and I need to hear from you. We need to join forces from across the country. We need to stand up together for the workers' comp issue, for the teachers' issue, for the students' issue. This is the next generation. For all the corruption in the courts, for what's happening in Benton Harbor is going to happen to us. If somebody's out there and they think it's okay that all these scandals in Washington, the IRS, the NSA, Benghazi, you're next. If this is all allowed to happen, you're next, because once they use you, they just throw you away.
Absolutely, and you know what, and I can testify to that, to what's happening here. And when you talk about all the corrupt judges, the same judge that sent me to jail was censored the other day by the Supreme Court. And 5 years ago, that could have never happened. But now people are waking up to the fact that these judges are corrupt. This guy probably is the most corrupt judge in the state of Michigan, maybe even around the country, even more corrupt than your judge. But the point is, they've been getting away with this stuff so long, we have to continue to file complaints against these guys. Also, Occupy the PGA, May 24th, here in the city of Benton Harbor. We're going to meet at 11 a.m. at City Hall. Also, you got to remember, the police department, the sheriff's department, are really, really now kicking indoors, doing everything. And it's a terrorist attack on the people here in the city of Benton Harbor. But the best part about this, we plan to fight back. No more terrorist attacks. And, Roz, you are right on the money. You just keep fighting. And also, the teachers' jail. That, I mean, don't the teachers understand what's going on? It's too many teachers. I know
right.
At least 10,000, 15,000 should be lining up ready to fight.
Right, and they don't. They're cowering in the corner. They're scared the loser's job. They're scared something will happen, but they are next. You saw the email I sent out last night?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, they're next.
But they don't get it, do they?
No, they don't get it. They're in a war zone. You know, when I was with the terrorists in Iran as a hostage, and they called me every day to ask me how I was, they were nicer, the terrorists in LAUSD that's killing off injured teachers, putting teachers.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. Are you saying the terrorists was nicer to you than the people in LA, the teachers and all them teachers' union and everything?
Yes, LAUSD, Dr. Deasy, the Board of Education, Don Watkins, David Holmquist, the middle management of the principals. The terrorists were nicer. Every day they called me and said, Rosie, how are you today? Do you like it here? What's going on? Before they told me they were going to kill me. And LAUSD, they're just killing you. They don't care. They are so incompetent and so corrupt. A school district that thinks it's okay to kill off teachers, okay to buy iPads, okay to have unsafe schools, where are the parents? We're the teachers. I don't hear them. We're the pastors.
Yeah.
We're everybody. It's a war zone.
You are absolutely right. Rod, look, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. And please, just stay in this fight, and we're with you 100%, Roz.
Okay, thank you. My email is rozywow@aol.com. R-O-Z-Y. wow@aol.com. Please blast this out to everybody about workers' comp, about the school. I need to hear from all of you. We need to bring the whole country together. We need to change this together. One person can start it, but you, all of you, it's a fight for our lives to save our country, our states, our school. Rozzy Wow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W. And I don't want you to forget how wonderful the Lord is. There is nothing impossible with him. Just think, when I went to court with your prayers, I gave a testimony about God in my life. This is the most incredible thing. I'm here with Reverend Pinkney. This is the Lord. I'm here with all of you.
All right, Rod, we have just ran out of time. And I want to thank all the listeners. Let's listen to a little Harold Melvin in the Blue Note. Rod, God bless you. You hang in there. You hear?
I will.
All right, all right.
Thank you all.
Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. Bye.